Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
John chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. John chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, keep in mind this topic. Condemned already. Condemned already. Let's read. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, it's hard for men to believe that a loving God would condemn them after what God did to Jesus Christ in their behalf. You talk to a fellow and you say something about Jesus Christ. He said, yeah, God, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ died to save us from our sins. And they know what God has done for Jesus with Jesus Christ. And it's hard to believe for them that God would then condemn them after what Jesus Christ did. They are the impression that they are all right with God and that they can count on God to overlook their, what they like to call, problem areas. It's what the Bible calls sin. And they believe that when they need God's help, all they have to do is just call on Him, and God's supposed to take care of it. For instance, a man lives his life pretty much for himself, concentrates on his family, and concentrates on his business, and concentrates on his recreation and his money and his possessions and those other kinds of things, his club memberships and so forth. And then all of a sudden, he finds out that he needs major surgery. And suddenly, he tries to learn how to pray. And he thinks somehow or another God should be right there at his beck and call to take care of him, even though he really hadn't had much to do with God up until that time. You really want to get his heart. You wait till somehow or another there is an illness that touches his child. Now, all of a sudden, he's wanting to get religion, see? Now, this problem about being condemned already is particularly hard for religious men to understand. They have a harder time because they don't see their sin. And they have a harder time seeing their personal need of Jesus Christ. I remember a friend flying back from Africa was talking to a lawyer that was sitting next to him, and the fellow said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, I've come to preach to the people there in the jungles and so forth, the tribal people." And he said, "Well, that's a wonderful thing." He said, those heathen need Jesus Christ." He said, "Yeah, and so do the heathen that shop at Walmart and Kmart and so forth and so on." And the attorney didn't take very kindly to that at all. In other words, the attorney thought those poor, depraved people out in the jungle needed help from God, but that he, being the successful businessman that he was, didn't need God's help. And truthfully, religious people and successful people don't see their personal need of Jesus. They can't imagine that they themselves are condemned already, but they are. I mean, you ask them. You ask them, and they'll say, "Well, I'm waiting on God to judge." As if they really believe smugly in their own heart that when they do stand before God, God's going to judge them righteous to get in. I mean, I've dealt with them. Just had a couple of folks last week tell me when we were witnessing. They'd say, "You know, it's not for me to judge. I'm just waiting on God to judge." You know, they say that with a smugness that tells me they really believe that God's going to overlook their sin and let them into heaven. Because if they really believed that they were condemned already, if they really believed that God had already sentenced them to hell, well, then they wouldn't be so smug about saying, I'm just going to wait on God to judge after I die, because there's nothing I can do about it now. They wouldn't be like that. They wouldn't be smug like that at all. You know what their problem is? They don't really believe that they are condemned already. See, religious people, successful people, sinful people who only need God in times of extreme desperation, do not honestly believe that they are condemned now. There's no need to wait on God to pass judgment on you if you've not received Jesus Christ. The judgment is already set. He that believeth not is condemned already. It's already done. You don't have to just wait for God to say. You're a condemned man without Christ. Now, every man that enters this world through his mother's womb is a condemned man, and he must be pardoned and forgiven by God Almighty. Now, the great lies, the great deceptions of religion are, number one, that when you are born as God's child. And that's not true. Now, I told you recently about a fellow we visited with in the neighborhood. He said, I came into this world saved. I was born saved. It's impossible. Jesus would have never told Nicodemus, you must be born again if you could possibly be born into this world a saved man. It's impossible. That's the deception of religion. That we are all somehow God's children, no matter whether we worship Buddha or Allah or Muhammad or Jesus Christ or the devil or whatever, you know. We're all God's children. We just have to get along. That's a lie. The second deception is that baptism washes away original sin. That's the second lie. And people who have been baptized as babies or after their little confirmation when they're about 12 years old believe because of their baptism as a baby or a very young kid, they believe that their original sin has been washed away and that therefore they are no longer condemned with the rest of the world and that now they can wait on God's judgment to get past hell. See how clever the devil is? Jesus says you're condemned already. Religion says we can get you by that. You're God's child. Just live good and get baptized in our church and you'll be all right. What a lie. Terrible lie. Now, you might be asking yourself the question, okay, preacher, let's say that you're right. I'm not right. The Bible is right. Let's clarify that. Okay, you say, well, preacher, the Bible may be right in saying that I'm condemned already. But my question is, why am I condemned already? Well, number one, it's in the text, because of your unbelief in the name of Jesus. Say, well, I believe Jesus Christ. I believe the name of Jesus Christ. I believe he was so. Well, that's not what he's talking about. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I've told you many times before, the world uses the name of Jesus Christ and banters it around, saying that they believe in him. But I'm going to tell you, there's a big difference between that and actually believing in the name of Jesus Christ and trusting that name to be your cure for sin. You see, we've dealt with many people. And I won't say that to boast. I just tell you that in dealing with well over 1,000 people individually about their soul's condition, you can tell 5 minutes into the conversation what they've done with Jesus Christ. I can remember dealing with a young man. We knocked on his door. He came to the door and I said, we're here. Our main interest is to be assured of your soul's salvation. That's what we're doing here. He said, well, I'm a saved man. I said, well, that's wonderful. How'd you get saved? He said, I got baptized. Now I said, well, wait a minute. And then I showed him some verses of Scripture that indicated baptism wouldn't do it. He says, well, actually, you know, you're right about that. Preacher, he said, no, the reason I'm a saved man is because I'm a good man. And I gave him some verses to show him that there's none good, no, not one. And he said, well, preacher, you know, actually, I'm really not dependent upon my baptism or my good works or the fact that I go to church all the time. Truthfully, I've received Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, well, you got him ranked third. Maybe in a little while you'll move him up. You see, he has been led to believe by being a good boy and by being baptized that he was all right with God. And somewhere in the picture there, he's low-ranked Jesus Christ to third place. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's a great possibility that that young man knows how to be saved, but that he hasn't personally gotten saved. You know, we've dealt with some people, and I remember knocking on the door one time, and a lady came to the door, and I said, we're interested in your soul. I said, we want to know whether you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. We want to know whether you're saved. She said, I sure am. I said, is that right? I said, why do you believe that you're saved? She said, young man, she said, half of me is in heaven already. Now, you know something? If she didn't know about salvation, she could have never said that. She's giving me understanding from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, who hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. She understands she's past condemnation in Jesus Christ. We talked about it a little longer. I'll tell you what, the woman, by her own testimony, is saved, and her spirit bore witness with our spirit, in fact, that Jesus was in her. Now, you can tell right away what a person thinks of Jesus Christ. They'll shut that door in your face quicker than you can say, Applejack. I mean, they'll have it shut. And you know what their problem is? They're religious, and they believe that they've got it all fixed up with God. And the truth of the matter is they're lost and have no relationship with Jesus Christ at all because they have unbelief in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 said, there's none other name given among men. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation in any other than Jesus Christ. You'll say, what's so big about his name? I'm going to tell you what's so big about his name. Philippians chapter 2 tells you what's so big about his name. That at the name of Jesus, not Allah, not Muhammad, Jesus, not Pope John Paul II, Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the problem. Right there. You talk with a fellow that's religious, that believes he's got everything fixed up by his baptism and by his natural birth from his mother's womb, he'll tell you, yeah, those guys over there that are in Iraq that believe in Allah, and those guys over there in the Middle East that believe in Allah and all that, they're going to make it there too. He's deceived. If they don't take the name of Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. You see, the reason the Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now about what you're hearing on this radio broadcast is because the Holy Spirit came into this world to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit deals with you about sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. The truth of the matter is, you named his name, but you are not trusting the name of Jesus Christ solely, absolutely, totally, 100% plus nothing to get you to heaven. That's the problem, see? Somehow or another, you think by your good works, by your aspirations, by your whatever you do, your charity, whatever it is, that God's going to look the other way and let you in. It will not happen unless you have received Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ has taken your sin personally from you. Now, I'll tell you another reason that the world's condemned already. And it's found here in verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know what the condemnation is? That light is coming to the world, they wouldn't take it. So the second reason that you're condemned already is not only because of your unbelief in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, I mean, let me put it to you this way. Let's say that you were dying of cancer and somebody created a pill, and if you would take that one pill, it would cure you of cancer and get you up off that bed. Now, why are you on that bed? Because you've got cancer. I come into you and I say to you, listen, Dr. So-and-so has just come up with this pill. If you'll take that pill, you'll be cured of your cancer. And you look at me skeptically and say, I don't believe that a little pill like that can knock that cancer out of my body. I'm not going to take it. I go away and I come back with 10 people who have taken the pill that were in the same shape with the same cancer you got. And I say, look, every one of these people took this pill. They're up. Look at them now. They're well. And you look at me and you say, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe one pill can do it. I've heard of chemotherapy and all these other things, putting people in remission, and I just don't believe one pill will do it. And the next day I come to your room and you're dead. You know why you died? You say, yeah, I died because I had cancer. No, you died because you refused the cure. You see, condemnation is on you already, like death is already on you. You are going to die and end up in a graveyard. You're sure enough going to go to hell without Christ if you don't receive him. And you know why you're going to wind up in the grave and in hell? You say, because I'm a sinner? No, because you won't take the cure. You won't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your only means of salvation. Even though the Bible said that's exactly what you need to do. And your second reason is rejection of the light of Jesus. See, Jesus Christ came into this world as the light, and the world rejected his light. Look at John chapter 1, verse 9. Take you back to something we studied recently. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Right now, Jesus Christ is shining light on you to let you know exactly where you stand with him, and you don't want to respond to what he's showing you. You don't want to believe it. You don't want to believe the sound of the voice of this preacher. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That would indicate then that everything that is in this world is dark. And that light is somewhere outside of this world and outside of this universe. Light is somewhere where God himself is. Now you're on to something. You see, back there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, he also said, God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Everybody that comes into this world arrives in this world in darkness. Jesus Christ comes shining a light on you because he wants you to realize that you need him to get saved. But you know what the reaction is? The reaction is the same thing as if your little sister came in and turned the light on in your bedroom at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it makes you flinch, it makes you squint, it makes you hide your eyes because you don't want to look at the light. You know, some people will go to a matinee movie, and then when they come out of the movie where the darkness has been in the movie theater, they'll step out into the bright sunlight and they'll shut their eyes. They come out of a museum or some kind of a dark room and they squint their eyes because the light hurts their eyes. The first time you see Jesus Christ, he hurts your eyes because he's showing you something about yourself. He's showing you that you are condemned and you don't want him to tell you that. But unless you see yourself as a condemned man, you'll never see Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation. But that's not the only reason that you're condemned already. You're condemned already because you won't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You reject the light of Jesus and you love the darkness of the world. That's the third reason. Look what he says again in verse 19. Men love darkness rather than light. This is a dark world here, and there are a lot of people that love it. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You'd rather have the lights of Las Vegas and the movie theater than you would the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in a dark world. You know where the spiritual battles are fought in this world? They're not fought between people. Right now, you may be agitated that this preacher's coming on a little strong and a little direct right at you. I'm not trying to agitate you, but I am a light shining right now. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You don't have anything against me personally, but against principalities and against powers and against, watch it, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is darkness in this world, and that darkness has a ruler. And that ruler is trying to convince you to hate the Word of God and trying to convince you to hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. You may not believe it, but you're in darkness right now. The sunlight is merely a light to show you how to go during the daytime so you can get enough money together to buy food to eat. But it is not an eternal light. The eternal light is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why you love the darkness more than you love the light? Because you want to hide your sin. That's what men do. They go to darkness to hide their sin. They work in dark alleys. They work in dark bars. They work in dark bedrooms. They work in dark movie theaters. The night covers the thief. He likes to work at night. Cases the joint in the daytime, steals at night. You know what the Bible says? If you'll get saved, you'll find that God has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, and you won't realize you've been in darkness until you come out. Right now, your eyes are adjusted to the darkness. They need to be adjusted to the light. You need to come out of darkness and come into His marvelous light. Why do you love darkness so much? Well, first thing is because your deeds are evil. That's what he said. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You say, my deeds are not evil. Absolutely they're evil. Absolutely they're evil. Even the plowing of the wicked is iniquity. In Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, I mean, the reason that God sent Noah's flood is because God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So he wiped out the earth and left Noah and his family. You know what he found out about the heart of the men that he left? He found out in Genesis 8:21, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Don't tell me you don't have evil deeds. That's what the Bible says you do. The very spiritual religious leaders of the day in Jesus' time were the Pharisees. And Jesus Christ said of them, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now, you don't see it that way. You don't see that what you're doing is evil. I mean, you give to charity, and you work hard, and you're an honorable man, and you are not an immoral man, and you don't cuss, and all those other kind of things. That's fine. God says you're evil if you reject Jesus Christ, which brings us to the next point. The reason you love darkness of this world is because you hate the light. Say, I don't hate Jesus Christ. If you haven't received him, you do. Jesus said in verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Now, Jesus loved you enough to die for you. And my question is, what is it about Jesus Christ that you hate so much you will not accept him as your Savior? You say, I don't hate him. Yeah, you do. If you haven't received him, you hate him. And that's exactly what Jesus said. The world cannot hate you, Jesus said to his disciples, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. It's hatred. And the last thing that's in the text concerning the condemnation of men is that they hate reproof. Let's do a quick summary, and then we'll deal with hate reproof. A man that's born of a woman in this world is condemned already until he receives Jesus Christ because, number one, of his unbelief in the name of Jesus. Number two, because his rejection of the light of Jesus. Number three, because of his love of the darkness of this world, which includes evil deeds, hatred of the light, and hatred of reproof. You hate reproof. You know why I know you hate reproof? You can't stand the sound of my voice preaching to you right now. I remember several friends of mine who are saved now that used to tell me before they got saved they couldn't stand to listen to me preach on the radio. And I was mean, but I wasn't intending to be mean just to upset them. I was trying to be direct to let them know they needed to receive Jesus Christ. Well, I haven't changed my direction, but I'm just not quite so mean. There's some fellows that get messed up by a strange woman in Proverbs chapter 5, and you know what he says? How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Look what he said. I've hated instruction, and I despised reproof. I realize what you're hearing right now you don't want to hear if you're a religious person that's alive without Christ. You don't want anybody to let you know that you're condemned already, that you hate the light, that your deeds are evil, that you hate reproof. But you do, and now you see why you're condemned. My question is, do you want out of that? Do you want out of that condemnation? Say, I don't believe it. Well, if you don't believe you're condemned, then you're surely not going to receive Jesus Christ. But if you believe that you're condemned because that's what Jesus Christ said and that your deeds really are evil and that you really have hated the light by not coming to Jesus and that you really do love the darkness of this world and that you really are condemned, you know what you'll do? You'll trust Jesus Christ. if you really want out of that trouble, you'll trust Jesus Christ. I mean, you'll just fall on your face like I did, like so many others have done, in tears, and say, you know something, Lord, that fellow's talking to me. I've lived a life of pride, self-will, and stubbornness against you, and rebellion, and it's time for me to come to the light so that you can shine the light on me and let me see me as you see me. And I don't want to be condemned. I want to believe on Jesus Christ and get out of this condemnation. You know what would happen if you would do that? The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. John 5:24 takes it even further than that. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Don't you want to get out of that condemnation? If you'll really be honest with yourself and with the Lord, you would admit to God that there are really some sins you've committed you know God is not happy with. And you'd come to the light after trusting Jesus Christ and let him shine that light on you, then you would know and the world would know you've changed. Verse 21 says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, you won't come to the light before you get saved, but after you get saved, Jesus Christ starts making a change in your life, and all of a sudden you're not doing the wicked stuff you were before. And you'll come to the light, and the light will manifest your deeds, and people will know that what's going on in your life is something that God did that you were incapable of doing yourself. Look in Matthew chapter 5 at verse 16. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, you'll have God for your Father if you'll trust Jesus as your Savior. Listen, get it and get it straight. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior yet, then you are right now condemned. You don't have to wait on the judgment to find out. And if you will trust him right now, the best way you know how, you will not be condemned, and you can come to the light and watch what God's doing in your life when he brings forth his own works and takes away your evil deeds. Say, preacher, I need help in finding Christ. Call us. We'll be glad to give you some other verses and pray with you to receive Christ as your Savior.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.